This is Laura Dierdo with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Allison Roditi, Vice President of Orthopedic Services at Catholic Health. Allison, it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast today.
Thanks, Laura. I'm really excited to be chatting with you again.
Fantastic. Well, I know we've got a lot to talk about, so we can dive right in. But before we get into the meat and potatoes of our discussion, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and your background? I know, you've recently jumped into the role at Catholic Health and after spending time at Hospital for Special Surgery and other places in New York. So we'd just love to hear a little bit more about how that's going and really what your career journey has been like.
Sure thing. So yesterday I actually celebrated my 1 year anniversary at Catholic Health, which is incredible. I can't believe it's been a year, and in some ways it feels like I've actually been there for quite a long time. I have such an amazing team that I work with there. I've actually known the Chief Transformation Officer who was the one who hired me. I met him as a fellow almost 19 years ago when I worked at Northwell. So it just goes to show you that you should never stop networking and never lose connections because you never quite know what that next opportunity will be and where it will come from. So I've just been really enjoying getting to know the people at Catholic Health. They have a phenomenal organizational culture. Everyone is exceptionally caring and committed to, serving our patients here in Long Island. I think for me, it's really special because I spent almost 8 years at Hospital for Special Surgery and have learned a lot about the world of orthopedics as a clinical subspecialty. So I think combining that experience with my almost 19 years in various service lines, different clinical specialties, has really allowed me to jump into this role and work with the folks in the health system. This is sort of my first time in a larger system role. And I'm just so excited because we're really setting the strategy for musculoskeletal health here in Long Island at Catholic Health, and kind of building out that roadmap of what things are going to look like over the next few years and how we can kind of elevate and grow the already excellent musculoskeletal care that's being provided at the system.
That's fascinating to hear. And what a great opportunity to really be part of, as you said, that decision-making process and figuring out how you can grow and develop and continue to evolve. With that in mind, what are some of the
So one of the things that I think has always been very present, and we're seeing it a lot more now, is access to care. I think access to care for patients has always been a longstanding issue, but I think it's recently been brought to the forefront, especially because of all of the new ways that patients can access, care, whether it's telemedicine, calling your physician, doing chats, or, the old way of kind of going into the office. I think there was a Super Bowl commercial even this past weekend or a few weekends ago about having the Amazon app and others. CVS has had a lot of apps out there or a lot of commercials, and I think consumers really do have more decision-making power than ever before. And the appetite for waiting to get care is rapidly diminishing. No one wants to wait 2 weeks anymore for an appointment. So I think any system that can get patients in, get them to see a doctor and give them high quality care are going to have an advantage. And if you can top that by offering an exceptional patient experience, you're really going to have a great position in the market, and you'll probably have that patient and their family for life. So I think in the ways we allow patients to access healthcare, I think is going to be rapidly changing over the next year or two, and I think we're going to have to be very nimble and flexible about how we do that and interact with our patients.
Absolutely. That's a really great point and definitely an important trend to keep an eye on. And when you think about how things are evolving and growing and developing, and especially where access is concerned, what are you most excited about in terms of what you're doing at Catholic Health and what makes you nervous?
Yeah, so I think we're really trying hard again to bring care to the patients when appropriate and when possible. And I think the coordination of care is so critical to any patient's journey. And I think being able to link our patients to the appropriate providers in a very timely fashion so that they, in essence, can, see their primary care provider. And if they have other concerns or need subspecialty care, get them that care within a reasonable amount of time, and even in fact to the point where, they have that appointment walking out the door, I think is really critical. And so a lot of the work we've been focusing on at Catholic Health in the last year has been linking all of our subspecialty providers to our primary care providers and really forming these strong relationships so that the doctors are even connected with each other on text, and, letting them know, hey, I'm sending you a patient. They're coming, they've made an appointment for, a couple of days from now. And, let me know how they do and if you need any other information. So I think forming those physician-to-physician linkages is also very critical to patient access and great patient care. And that's something we're really striving for at Catholic Health. We have a very strong community of doctors and a very unique blend of practitioners where some are employed by our health system and some are not. And so I think trying to keep those relationships sticky and make sure that everyone's taking care of the patient and everyone's in the loop is absolutely critical for good outcomes and also, again, for good access for our patients. And I think that's what keeps our patients coming back and keeps them loyal to our system.
That's amazing to hear, and certainly really cool initiatives that you're able to do with that information that you have and connecting with patients and really doing it in a more strategic way than in the past. While we're wrapping up here, I'm wondering too, as you think through how healthcare is changing and what patients are looking for within their space, as well as trying to coordinate care and provide that access that they need. What do healthcare leaders need in order to be successful over the next 2 to 3 years or so?
Yeah, so there's a couple of things that I think healthcare leaders need to be successful in the next 3 years. The one thing is you have to be able to work with people. People are absolutely critical to what we do every day. And I've probably said this in other talks I've given or when I mentor young administrators and leaders, but I think people ask me all the time, Allison, what do you do every day? And what I actually answer them is say, well, I work with people. And yes, I do budgets and I do all these other tasks and lead, work on projects. But I think the team building that I do, the working through strategy, building awareness about things that we need to get moving through our health system, and having sometimes really difficult conversations to bring people on board or understand where people are coming from so we can move an initiative forward is really critical to being a good leader. And I'm certainly not perfect at it. I'm certainly growing my tool belt and learning as I go. But I think, if you can't work with people, healthcare may not be for you. But if you have a strong sense of working with people and want to develop that skill, I think that's absolutely critical to being a great healthcare leader. And along with that, a great mentor of mine once told me, you should listen more than you talk. And I've been doing this now for just under 20 years. And I definitely, as a young administrator, loved to talk and give my opinion. And I still love to give my opinion, but I really try hard to listen. I think the higher up you get in leadership, I think it's so important to be able to listen to your counterpart, to the people that work for you and the people that use your services. The best way to provide what they need and the best way to figure out what the solutions are that will meet, everybody's needs. So I think being a great listener is also a key skill. And then I think also in this crazy time we have where we've got, in rising costs and decreased payments and all sorts of technology coming at us, I think creativity is also a key to being a great healthcare leader. I think you have to be willing to take a little bit of risk. I think you have to be willing to step outside of the box a little bit and look at different solutions. And I think some of that creativity also is in your hiring. I think you need to find people maybe from other industries or other clinical backgrounds, get them out of their subspecialties and get a different lens on things. For example, I currently have a project manager who comes from an industrial engineering background. She's never really worked in healthcare before, but I absolutely love her perspective. She sees things in data and in processes that I don't see. And together we make such a strong team because we can really come at things with different lenses. And so I think, being creative, taking a little bit of risk is also essential to becoming a really great healthcare leader.
That's such a great reminders and examples of how leadership is evolving and growing, and certainly where healthcare can be pushed to be more innovative and exciting and really meet the needs of patients and communities. Allison, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. This has been such a fun and interesting discussion, and I look forward to connecting with you again soon.
Great. Thanks, Laura. Yeah, this was excellent.